the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Hey, all they needed was some home cooking. Brewers now have won 14 of their last 17 games at American Family Field. Brewers went 3-1 today over the Blue Jays. I'm Dominic Catronio. I tell you what, Craig Kishon's going to join us in just a little bit as well. This game was just a clean, high-quality, well-pitched ballgame. Jose Berríos pitched well. He did not have his A stuff, and the Brewers still had fits with his changeup. Colin Ray, 7 strong innings, really just one mistake. Yoel Piamps, Trevor McGill doing their job in the 8th and the 9th inning. I see a team that, a day like today, they made it look so easy. Did they leave a few runs out there? Sure. But they were facing an ace. They were facing an opening day starter in Jose Berríos, who's had a really, really good, quietly resurgent season for the Blue Jays. I know his record is 5-5. His ERA is still under 3. Some of the underlying stuff, right? His whip's 1-1-0, which is fantastic. Average against 2.35. His walks are down this season. He's going to be posting another 170-plus inning season, probably for the 4th consecutive year. He's quietly been fantastic for the Blue Jays, and the Brewers clawed out 3 runs against him. Sometimes that's all you need to win, right? 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. If you want to text in, if you want to call in, hang out with us here tonight. Also, I got a player of the game poll over on my Twitter, @Dom_Catronio, DOM_CoTRONEO. Here's the mind-blowing stat I had from this, and then I'll read some text before we get Craig here on the program. The most mind-blowing stat I had from this game for the Brewers, I have 2 of them actually, so I lied, I apologize. First of all, for Colin Ray. Today, Colin threw a total of 85 pitches. 4 of them, he was behind in the count. 4. So 81 of 85 pitches, he was either ahead of the count or even in the count. Even in the count means it's 1-1, 2-2, or 3-2. Behind in the count, 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 3-1. And of course, ahead in the count, more strikes than balls. So when you put that into perspective, wait, 4 pitches out of 85, he was behind the hitter. 2 hits of the 3 that he allowed were in that situation. That is why it is so important for Colin Ray to be effective with his fastball. It is quietly a very good pitch from the 4-seam fastball. I'm not even talking about the sinker or talking about the cutter. The 4-seam fastball, when he can locate that well, when he can use it as a surprise, here's a straight one because I know you're expecting me to cut and to sink and to move and to dip and to dive and to dodge and all that stuff. He's able to use that pitch like he envisions it. And when you look at the actual split of his season, when he's ahead in the count, Colin Ray, opponents only hit 191. Furthermore, they only slug 333. That's the important one with Colin Ray. I know he gave up a home run today, but the double was a bloop, seeing-eye double down a left field line. He did not give up much slug tonight at all. But when the batter is ahead against Colin Ray, opponents are hitting 271 with a slug over 420. That's where the damage comes in. That's where Colin Ray gets burned. And I said a couple starts ago, I was a little worried given the downturn that he was on there in the middle of May. He had that stretch where he did not get out of the 5th in 2 of 3 starts. He had given up 12 earned runs. His ERA had jumped up to just under 4.7, but he's lowered it down to just at 4.07, I should say. And now he has lowered it back down to just over 3. Love what we saw from Colin Ray today, and we'll break it down a little bit deeper with Craig Kishon here in a moment. But a few more texts that have come in here. This one from David in Superior. Colin Ray doing Colin Ray things. This one from Austin in Poinette. I have not heard any positive news regarding the Brewers starting pitching lately, and I get it with the injuries. Yet, since June began, only once has a starter allowed more than 3 earned runs, and now the starters have gone 7 or more innings twice in the last week. Yep, good observation there, Austin. I think we'll talk about the pitching injuries. Another one might have been blown today, and a debut is coming tomorrow, most likely, for the Brew Crew. This one coming from the 262 area code. Put it on the board, Dom. Up to 3. Yes, I know the Blue Jays offense hasn't been stellar, but 7 strong from Ray. coming off of back-to-back short outings. Here's to hoping Carlos F. Rodriguez can keep it rolling in his debut. Facing future Brewer Yusei Kikuchi. I don't know if the Blue Jays are going to be letting him go. He's still on a very team-friendly deal, but it is a rental, so we'll see what they think about with that. Josh in Milwaukee, hats off to Colin Ray for a tremendous start that featured no walks, and the Brewers were due to hit a couple of homers. Will Carlos Rodriguez, in fact, his debut tomorrow night? Yeah, look, the Brewers can't say it because, A, he's not on the 40-man roster, and, B, there needs to be a corresponding move. So somebody's getting DFA'd, like they need, or somebody's getting put to the 60-day IL. These things are not official yet for the Brewers. But, yes, all signs point to Carlos Rodriguez making his major league debut tomorrow and be the 12th different starting pitcher for the Brewers already this season. It's only going to be June 11th tomorrow. And in case you're wondering who can be placed on the 60-day IL, well, it sounds like Robert Gasser is going to be placed on that. And we'll talk about that with Craig Kishon coming up in just a little bit. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 3-1, game one of a three-game set over the Blue Jays. I'm Dominic Catronio. Mr. Reliable Colin Ray does it again. This guy just gets better and better, and if Cheerio keeps this up, watch out, National League. That one from Doug. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Fifth Third Bank, a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. So I said I had two mind-blowing stats. I gave you the first one that they only had four pitches while behind in the count. The other one is that the Brewers pitching staff faced 30 batters today, so only three over the minimum. They faced 30 batters today. They threw a first pitch strike to 28 of them. Furthermore, the only two that didn't get a first pitch strike, the first two batters of the game, the last 28 batters in a row, all had 0-1 or they put the first pitch in play. Every single one of the last 28 hitters. That's command. That's impressive stuff. When I'm looking at this, no hits on the first pitch. So that means they're getting themselves out. They started swinging early against Colin Ray in the second inning, or rather in the second and third inning. Got strikeout of George Springer. Before Kirk actually hit the homer, he had hit a foul ball. But then three consecutive batters swung at the first pitch. Two of the next four swung at the first pitch, and then he had that aided by that big four-pitch inning. That was back in the fifth. And I tweeted this, but I told Brewers fans to duck because the last time a Brewer pitcher had a four-pitch or less inning and got three outs, mind you, was Matt Busch in 2022. So, wild. Sometimes stats lead you down rabbit holes that you don't expect to find. Brewers get the victory 3-1. Colin Ray is obviously the story. I mean, he's dominating this player of the game poll right now. 86% of the vote. And we'll talk about the offense and Cheerio. Doug mentioned Cheerio, and he's quietly getting a little bit more confident. Home run today. I mean, a reminder that a 20-year-old now in the big leagues hits another homer. It's his seventh. I mean, there's a very good chance Cheerio can flirt with 20 home runs by the season's end. Now, his playing time is going to maybe get cutting when Garrett Mitchell returns, who, oh, by the way, returned to minor league action tonight. We'll talk about Garrett, too. But having Cheerio continue to play well, he even got intentionally walked today. That's got to boost your confidence, right? Well, it was for the matchup, the left-on-left to face Bryce Terang. But Cheerio, quietly, he's up to 220 for his batting average, which isn't anything to go nuts about, but league average is right around in the 240s. His OPS, 626. But what I'm noticing is a lot fewer strikeouts, a lot more balls in play. A little too many ground balls, if you ask me, but he'll learn to elevate. Again, he is 20 years young. As we welcome in Craig Kishon now here on WTMJ, Craig, I'm just waxing poetic about Colin Ray right now. And again, four pitches in behind of the count, and he threw a first pitch strike to all but two batters he faced today. What jumps out to you about Colin Ray tonight?
Well, I mean, those numbers are impressive. I think the one that out of all of that that stands out to me is just the fact that he did indeed throw a first pitch strike to 21 of 23 batters. I mean, that is rare, to say the least, for anybody. But for a guy that went seven innings and just went out there and just did his job again, I just thought he held, you know, Toronto in check, and you know, really, really just was Colin Ray, I think, you know, just watching this guy go out there and do his job. I mean, he's not overpowering, he's not dominant. We all know that. He's not a huge strikeout guy, but no walks. Love those storylines. That's so common for him. Not a lot of traffic on the bases. I don't know, dude. He is just so much somebody you can count on in that rotation. It's not even funny right now.
This was a really good matchup for Ray, too, given they sat Kevin Kiermaier, who's a platoon lefty. They put Varsho into center, and they put as many righties in there as they could. But that's also the Blue Jays lineup. Most of their production comes from the right side. Even Justin Turner had the night off today. But Colin Ray was effective understanding that, okay, well, this is a team that is having trouble elevating the baseball. And you notice when they tried to elevate the baseball, it was a pop out or they would swing and miss. And he didn't have many swings and misses today. And when I see a guy that's on command and on point like he was today, this is exactly what we talked about in spring training, where it's like, look, Colin Ray is going to be an important piece of the staff because he's a traditional pitcher and because he doesn't rely on strikeouts. He's not going to blow you away like you said. But sometimes, because you have that ability to be traditional and be old school and pitch to contact, it allows you to get deeper into games, and it's just kind of shocking that it took until June 10th for us to finally see that fruition of, hey, trusting him a third time through, getting that weak contact, and getting ahead of hitters.
Well, I think in addition to that, to carry on your point just about getting this deep into ball games, and we just saw Tobias Myers on Friday. Go eight innings. Okay, so the last four games, we've seen a starting pitcher go eight and then seven, and Ray could have gone eight today, but, you know, Murph said he hasn't had that many up and downs yet this year. So you know what? Somewhere along the line, you just got to really believe that now that we're at this point of the season, that this is where these guys may have just been developing all year long, just with the trust of, you know, who's in charge of this pitching staff right now. And it, you know, it's Chris Hook and everybody. We keep mentioning their names and how much they've been able to have game plans. And maybe this is part of the game plan here for this year, is to not try to blow these guys out that they know that they can count on early on the season and give them some help in that first inning against really good, dominant upper part of the lineup left-handed hitters, and give them a break and bring them in the second inning. We've seen that obviously a couple of times with him recently. And just the fact too, Dom, that he doesn't care when he pitches. He just wants to pitch probably as long as he can and keep this team in games. And, you know, I don't know if what they're doing right now maybe isn't been part of the game plan all along, because you can't blow out guys and you can't bring them along, you know, without giving them a chance to succeed. And we're starting to see more and more of that.
And in that vein, I mean, it leads you into the conversation about getting the length when you really needed it these last couple of outings with Tobias and now with Ray, and not getting it from Freddie on Saturday was kind of a punch to the gut, on Saturday. And then, you know, you get the news today that Robert Gasser might be done for the year, and you already had lost weight, and you already knew you weren't going to have Brandon Woodruff all year. But it's just like, okay, like, to see Colin Ray kind of take the torch, say, don't worry, I'm going to keep it lit, it's fine, and go seven innings, it's, I think there's more of a lift there, right? I might be overstepping, I might be overreacting, but to have Colin Ray, your most unassuming veteran, say, you know, I got seven today, no big deal, and then you hope that carries over tomorrow with a big league debut and trying to absorb a massive injury, and Tobias Myers feeling confident, now having to face these Blue Jays coming up on Wednesday, he's taking notes of how they attack this week, so you got to hope that when you lose one of your star arms today, seemingly for a while, to have one of your veterans say, I got seven, don't worry.
Right. And what's the biggest message that any staff can be sent from their coaches, from their developmental squad, is throw strikes. And who throws strikes better right now than Colin Ray? He just doesn't walk guys. He gets out there and gets the job done, and he's been very efficient about it. So you brought up, you know, Freddie's name. He was, you know, a little out of character in his last start. And Pat Murphy said, you know, there's nothing wrong with him. He's fine. You know, he's just gotta kind of rediscover himself here a little bit. You know, Freddie hopefully can take a page out of what he's seen over the last few ball games as well, and just get in there and figure out a way to throw strikes and be efficient. So I really liked what I saw at Array because, again, it's not flashy. It's just getting the job done, throw strikes, get outs, get in the dugout, and give your offense a chance to score some runs.
Amen to that. Colin Ray had himself a day. But we do got to talk about the offense. They did score only three, but a timely three runs. That's coming up next. Brewers Extra Innings rolls on after a 3-1 win over the Blue Jays on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back, Don Catronio with you. Brewers win 3-1 over the Blue Jays. Craig Kishon is here as well. This one from Jerry in the Dells, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Well, we all hoped to at least get one in Philly. Didn't happen. Bummer. Panic? No, not this team. Just pick up where we left off. This is fun. I would not bet against us now or down the road. This team is on a mission, and life is good. So let's talk about one of the pillars of this team coming through today. Willy Adames, a home run and a sac fly. It was a key insurance run, and it ultimately was the final score. We all know this, Craig. We've seen this since 2021. When Willie has a good game, the Brewers have a good game. And when Willie was 0-for, I think it ended at 0-for-19 over this past week. He was 0-for in Philly. He was 0-for until yesterday in Detroit. He still has not had a day off. I don't think he's going to get a day off like we saw for William. But you're starting to see signs like, okay, he's breaking out of it again. He's going to get on one of those hot, white hot stretches when you're like, all right, just get out of the way and let Willie go.
You know, it's funny because I'm not sure Willie's the guy that necessarily benefits from having a day off. I mean, I just think most of what we've seen, at least in a Brewer uniform, is he just has to fight his way through these offensive slumps that he goes in. And then once he does that, he can carry the offense for quite a stretch. It's never affected his defense. And so that's always been the good part there. So I think, really, it might be a little bit different, in my opinion, with Contreras getting battered back there as a catcher at times and going through and having more opportunities to have, nagging injuries and whatnot and getting banged up. So with Willie, I just see him. Hey, now, I think you just get the sense that he is definitely on his way back and may not need a day off, as it turns out. I mean, I wouldn't take him out after what he did today, right? I mean, he'll be in there tomorrow.
No kidding. I mean, you look at what Willie does for this lineup, and they're finally mostly healthy, aside from Garrett Mitchell at this point. And you put him right there behind Yelly, and I know Yelly was 0-for today. But part of the reason why William and Yelly have had so many opportunities with runners in scoring position, it's because of all of a sudden the dynamic nature of this lineup. And this is something that Yelly and I talked about in spring training, where it's like you suddenly look at what this projective lineup could look like, and you're like, okay, you're going to have, you know, at the time we thought it was going to be Garrett Mitchell, who's Sal Frelick, you know, so now it's Bryce Terang, which is a great call, William second, Yelly third, Willie or Reese fourth, and you fill it in from there. Churio and Garrett will be back at some point. It's like, well, I mean, today, even on a day where Yelich did not get on base for Adames, Adames is still able to restart the offense. That's what deep lineups do. There's no easy out. There's no easy stretch. You're always looking down the card like, ooh, that's going to be a tough matchup for me. And even Churio in the nine hole. This is a lineup that's going to get deeper when Garrett comes back. And what I see is a night like tonight, even when they only score three runs, It's enough. It is really enough.
Well, and I'm going to say this, and some Brewer fans who are frustrated with the offense may not agree with me, but I really feel like this is kind of a dream lineup the way it has developed, because as well as these guys are finding ways to get on base, I mean, look at some of the batting average and on-base percentages and slugging percentages that these guys are putting up right now that were here a year ago, the last couple of years. And it just isn't the same. This mix has really done a wonderful job of feeding off each other. And all the things that you mentioned, Dom, you know, when you start spring training and you think, and hey, it could be like this, but will it really turn out to be like this? Is that really feasible and realistic? For the most part, really, it's turned out that way. And what a turnaround for this offense from the last few years, for that matter, because having been here this whole time, there really nothing is more of a signature and caps off frustration more than not having any offense when it comes playoff time. And we have seen that over the last several playoff appearances. They just haven't been able to compete offensively. And now I would say they can compete with anybody with their offense in the postseason. I mean, they're just so much better off for it.
They got into so many good counts today, too. That's a sign of a healthy offense. I mean, I look at that sixth inning. Terang, understanding the situation, third time through the order, gets ahead 2-0, count worked to full, and he draws a leadoff walk. And at that moment, with the Brewers still leading 2-1, I understood why Schneider wanted to let it ride and try to keep Berríos in there as long as he could. But being the third time through, then as soon as William got the base hit through the right side, I would have made the move to Zach Pop, given how silly he made Reese look. But at the same time, it all began because of a leadoff walk and a professional AB. They made, over the course of four batters, that third time through against Berríos, they made Berríos through 25 pitches to four batters. Not only is that going to gas you, it's going to leave a mistake over the middle of the plate like Willie did for the sack fly, but you're going to get into the bullpen a little bit sooner. Each day leads to the next, right? Now the Brewers have seen Pop. They've seen Little. And what I see from the Brewers is professional at-bats always are valuable. If you're up there hacking early, like Terang isn't that kind of guy, hacking early in that situation. But the fact that they were patient enough to work it and still claw a run across against a very good pitcher, mind you, that's a sign of an offense that understands its identity, that it doesn't – it's nice it got two homers tonight, but it doesn't rely on that.
Right, and it, those real professional at-bats coming at the time that you're mentioning here, I mean, look, maybe you try to jump a little bit early, first at-bat, second time through, you know, maybe a little bit less, but when you know you're starting to see how this game is developing, it's still tight. And you guys, you have guys that have been around for a while in this league in that lineup here right now. And they know what it takes, and you're going up against a really good experienced pitcher. You know, they were able to take advantage of a few things. And some nights it doesn't take much to take advantage of. And I think this was certainly one of those nights, and it worked out really well for him. That's for sure. But yeah, patience is virtue for this team, and they did a great job third time through for sure.
And one last thought for me here. Jackson Churio, the eye test looks like confidence. The eye test looks like a kid that's, I mean, I don't want to overstep here, a kid that's having fun. And I'm not implying that he wasn't having fun. But let's be honest, when you get that dream job, right, I'm trying to relate this to the regular listener, not just a Major League Baseball player, but when you get a dream job and maybe a month or two in, you're like, whoa, this is a lot of work. I don't know if this is fun. Did I really want this kind of thing? And sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get your bearings. And I'm not saying he's going to be a 300 hitter tomorrow, but seeing steps like we saw today, a two-strike homer, put the ball in play, understanding how pitchers are starting to attack him. I mean, I thought that sequence with him in the third inning to get a hanging slur from Berríos after he had chased one earlier is an example exactly of what we're talking about of a kid growing up.
Yeah, and you know, who's to say that, you know, after Jake Bowers didn't get picked off, mm-hmm. you know, Churio's mindset changes a little bit, right? I mean, it has to a little bit. Now bases are empty, and you know, one swing of the bat and can change things here. And he's got the capability of doing it. But I think, you know, when I look at this kid, yes, I am impressed. I've never felt like he's been overmatched, out of his league, you know, no pun intended. He's gone through one slump, one good-sized, is he going to learn from this slump? But that was after a great start to his major league career. He got a taste of success right out of the gates, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. Then failure is going to come, and then it's how you rebound. And I think he didn't need to rebound, you know, like a firecracker. He needed just to rebound and get back in the game and learn some things and kind of take it slow, because he knows that this organization is going to allow him to do that. And we're obviously seeing his IQ to this game, and his disposition, because it's all on a professional level. It's all on a major league level here. And I'll just finish this. I said this on our TV post game, just to watch him tonight, you know, to hit the home run and just play his game. For me, I'm just so happy for him. It makes me feel good when this guy succeeds, because I really don't see him failing. I just see him enjoying the game. And like you said, Dom, he knows he belongs. I don't think there's any doubt in that. And just watching him grow in the first 3 months of his big league career so far has been, you know, a pleasure. That's for sure.
I agree. And one last note on that thought, and I was looking at his two-strike approach lately, what's been different. So since that, the game in Miami when he let the ball drop, and since, yeah, you know, this is after the talking to as well from Freddy Peralta too, but like since he really started to understand what it takes and he can start playing better, with two strikes, he's hitting .278. Now, that may not sound crazy, but when you think about it, two strikes for a 20-year-old in the big leagues, you're not supposed to have success, because in his first 80 or so plate appearances with two strikes before that Miami series, he was hitting .169. So you can see it. It's a small sample, I know, but you can see more contact, less strikeouts, and a guy that's starting to understand what it takes to be a big leaguer almost every day, since he's in kind of a platoon right now.
Yeah, and, you know, .278, I mean, to me, That's a great number. I mean, imagine it if and when he hits .278 as an everyday, you know, player out there for just his regular batting average, that would be phenomenal, and it'd be a heck of a jump. But to go from where he is batting right now in the low 200s to that with a game or an at bat on the line is just says a lot about him. That's for sure.
I agree. Craig Kishon with us here on WTMJ. I won't be with you tomorrow, but you'll be on the program with Tony Carnejeda. Appreciate your time as always, Craig, and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good, Dom. Thanks.
All right. Up next, we'll hear from Lane Grindle and Colin Ray, today's player of the game. After the breather, Brewers win 3-1 over the Blue Jays on 620 WTMJ.
Now, more Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Brewers win. Vibes are good. Game one of a three-game set with the Blue Jays. Brewers Extra Innings also brought to you in part by Satter Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. If your AC unit's more than 10 years old, right now through June 15th, so the end of this week, Satter Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you $1,500 on a brand new unit. Visit Satter.com to schedule an appointment today. That's Seider.com. Well, Colin Ray was the man of the hour. He caught up with Lane Grindle during the network postgame show. Here's what Colin had to say about his great outing today. He earned the victory in the 3-1 final.
Three hits, a run. You were extremely efficient. It felt like you just got a lot of early swings and a lot of soft contact.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing this year so far has been that first inning for me. It's been kind of a struggle. So I think just getting off to a good start there. And they got a lot of righties in the lineup. So being able to establish that fastball glove side early in the game was kind of big, and then I think that's what kind of led to the rest of the game.
Do you feel like you and William just got into a really good rhythm as the game went along?
Yeah, I thought he did a great job. He did a good job moving around both sides of the plate. I think it was just kind of an execution night. You know, he saw that we were kind of executing that backdoor sinker, and that played really well off of other stuff that we were attacking them with. And then, you know, they were pretty aggressive, so we were getting ahead and kind of using their aggression to our advantage. And, you know, we played great defense and got some key hits when we needed to.
You mentioned a very right-handed lineup that this Blue Jays squad runs out there. They had three lefties in the lineup tonight, so six righties that you were dealing with. You know, what have you seen from right-handed hitters this year as they try to attack you and approach you? Have you seen trends from what they've tried to do when there's been right-handed heavy lineups like tonight?
Yeah, I think it depends on team to team. But this is probably the most heavy right-handed lineup that I've faced this year. I could be wrong, but I think it is. And I think, like I said earlier, I think just establishing that glove side fastball down the way. And that way I know my delivery's in a good spot too, and then, you know, working in with the heater when we need to. But I think that glove side down the way, it allows the other pitches to play off it pretty well. And with them being as aggressive as they are, I think, you know, if we can establish that fastball, get some early weak contact or even, you know, get some takes early in the count, that'll set us up to be in a good spot.
Colin, it's probably dangerous to think this way going into a start, but with the injuries that this staff has accumulated over the course of the year and with the innings that have been asked of the bullpen at times over the course of the year, I'm not sure you put pressure on yourself to go deep in a game before you go out there, because that could be maybe a little bit dangerous. But when it's over and you see, hey, seven innings, and I gave the bullpen a night to rest a little bit besides Yoel and Trevor, that has to feel good, because you know how valuable that is right now to this pitching staff.
Yeah, I think we got a bunch of guys on our staff that's kind of our biggest goal, is to go, you know, at least six innings. I think, you know, anything less than six is, you know, we're not happy with it, I guess. And it's sometimes the situation of the game, you know, you really can't control it. You know, the score of the game and stuff like that, a lot of that's out of your control. But, you know, for the most part, I think we got some guys. You know, we have had some injuries, but at the same time, we've had some guys. We have guys in our rotation that, you know, they want to go deep. And we got a bunch of bulldogs in the bullpen, too, that can come in and pick us up when we're not at our best. And so far, it's been working pretty good.
Colin Ray, the winning pitcher here tonight in this win for the Crew, 3-1 over the Blue Jays. Colin, we appreciate it. Thanks so much. Great job.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
That was great. Colin Ray earns the win, to say the least. And I was chuckling a moment ago because Christian Yelich just caught a stray from Todd Rosiak, and he swung back. It's funny. It's a joke. It's a joke. Just, if you're on Twitter, it was funny. Yelly's team has been pretty funny on social media this year, so enjoyed that from him. Anyway, the day from Colin Ray was huge. Pat Murphy also had some kind things to say about him. That's coming up next. You'll hear from Murph, and we'll get to some highlights in just a little bit, and also an update from Garrett Mitchell. Yep, he started his rehab assignment tonight. I'll tell you that in just a little bit as well. Brewers win 3-1 over the Blue Jays. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
I won't hold you for too long about waiting on Garrett Mitchell. Brewers won, by the way, tonight 3-1. So he starts his rehab assignment. Pat Murphy says about 30 or so at-bats is what they're hoping out of him while he begins his rehab. He'll work his way up from the Arizona League up to AAA, not through each step, I'm just saying, but just get his eyes back here for this first week or so in the Arizona Complex League, in the heat, in 110 degrees down in Maryvale. As you know, actually looking at the box score here, 102 degrees and clear tonight at first pitch at 6 o'clock at American Family Fields of Phoenix. And Garrett Mitchell today, he went 1-for-3, a walk, and an RBI single, and a run scored. No strikeouts, put the ball in play. No big deal for Garrett. Good to see from him. As he finally got to see live pitching, he had a ground out to two ground outs to first, in addition to his single up the middle for a walk today. First day back in probably what will be something in the range of 10 to 12 games for him as he works his way back from his fractured finger. How about the manager, Pat Murphy, today after a 3-1 victory over the Blue Jays?
21 out of 20, whatever he faced. He faced 23. Wow. Had a double play and Yeah, Colin was great. He's pitching. Yeah, Piamp's very good.
Was that a decision for you? Tough decision to not send Colin back out for the eighth? I think he was at 85 pitches.
Yeah. I say tough decision, but, I mean, eight ups is a lot for these guys that don't do it very often.
Yeah.
It's a close ball game, and felt good about Piamp's the way he's been throwing the ball the last few times. So, yeah, no, Colin was magnificent. Change the game, and we obviously Willie and Cheerios, big homers, and Willie came through the big sack fly. That was trying playing defense, hit the ball. He could have had three hits on any other night, but hit the ball right at people, and it was an interesting night. So,
yeah, just kind of looking at Bryce, if you look at the box score, you don't see a whole lot, but just kind of seemed like his fingerprints were all over the game between scoring on the sack fly, made that nice double, or not the double play, but
play up the middle to end the game.
The middle to end the snag in the seventh inning.
Yeah, he's a good player. You know, he's a good player, and I want him in there all the time, and he's getting more and more comfortable in his first kind of full-time role, and hitting at the top of the order. And he really... you know, affected the game, even though he was 0 for 3 or 0 for 4 or whatever. So, 0 for 3 for the walk.
Mark, Willie had kind of a tough road trip. How good is it to see him, you know, bounce back the way he did tonight with some...
Yeah, he's, you know, Willie's such a competitor and such a, you know, gamer. You know what I mean? He loves it. He loves being in there. He loves the big situations. And, yeah. Everybody goes through a road trip or two, and he did hit some balls hard, but he still didn't affect his defense and or his leadership. And I think, you know, it's a testament to him. I've seen him hit that same home run 20 times since I've been here. Slider kind of down in the zone, right in that same spot. You know?
22 plate appearances against Barrios for you guys. You made him throw five or more pitches in 13 of those. Just driving that pitch count up. What did you think of?
Yeah, I think they had a good plan. I mean, they know how he attacks people, and the guy has pitched really well against us. You know what I mean? You think about 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago that he just opened the season? Was it meant when he was with Minnesota, opened the season against us? It was, I mean, he was lights out. I mean, he shoved out. One of the best appearances of the year. And not too many guys are still here, but people remember, I mean, how good that guy was. So, and his stuff is still really, really good. But I think taking that sinker in off helped drive the pitch count up a little bit.
If the homers become such a big part of baseball, were you aware of that five-game streak there that you guys hadn't hit one?
No.
Interesting that you guys can still, you know, it's possible to win games, and you guys have done it without hitting.
Yeah, I like it when we hit them, though. I'm not trying to promote not hitting homers, that's for sure. But there's more ways to beat teams. Tonight we needed the homer,
yeah.
You know, and they almost hit a couple that were squared up.
Two solo homers sometimes is all you need, and let's relive it coming up next with some highlights. Brewers win 3-1 over the Blue Jays on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Colin Ray starting off the homestand for the Brewers, going up against Jose Barrios, the former Twin, now Blue Jay. A pretty good matchup to open things up on Monday night. It was the nine-hitter that got things going for both offenses. In the top of the third, Alejandro Kirk hit a solo homer to open the scoring. In the bottom of the third, it was the Brewers' nine-man, Jackson Churio.
The pitch. Breaking ball, hammered out towards left. Going back is Schneider. Onto the track. Well gone! Jackson Churio! His seventh home run of the season! And it ties this game at one!
Maybe could have been a go-ahead home run if Jake Bowers hadn't been picked off on literally the pitch before. But all tied up at one, as called by Lane Grindle. Then Colin Ray would go on a roll from there. In the fourth inning, he would only need 9 pitches to dispose the side. In the bottom of the fourth, more offense for the Crew from one of their pillars.
The 1-2 pitch, breaking ball, hammered, deep left center field. That ball is back, it is gone. Adames gives the Brewers a 2-1 lead with his 10th home run of the season.
Number 10, the Brewers are perfect 9-0 in games that he has hit a home run. So they have taken the lead 2-1. Colin Ray in the fifth. You want a shutdown inning? I'll give you a shutdown inning. He only needed 4 pitches to get through the fifth inning thanks to a ground out, a bunt single, and then a 4-6-3 double play. That will be a theme for the whole night for Colin Ray. He also got some help from his defense later on in the game as Bryce Terang, what turned out to be the final out of the day for Colin Ray.
2 balls and a strike on Vogelbach. Ray brings home the pitch, and this is line into a leaping glove brought down by Bryce Terang. A sensational play by a sensational second baseman. Timed it up beautifully, snatched it out of the air, and a 1-2-3 inning for Colin Ray. He threw 7 strong innings.
He threw a total of 4 1-2-3 innings, and of the 7 innings he threw, 5 of them were disposed on 15 pitches or fewer. He had himself a great day. The Brewers also added a run on a sacrifice fly in the bottom of the 6th inning, thanks to Willy Adames. 2 of the 3 RBIs belonged to him. Then finally, it was Yoel Piamps in the 8th. He had a 1-2-3 frame, but a 2-out single kept the game alive against Trevor Megill in the 9th. No problem, as Vlad Guerrero Jr. followed.
And the pitch. Bouncer hit back up the middle, and the play by Terang. What else? Behind the bag, he grabbed it backhand style and threw out Guerrero to end the game.
Mr. Baseball Bob Uecker on the call as the Crew wins it 3-1 by that final score. We'll say goodnight after this. Preview the rest of the week on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last couple minutes here of the program. Tomorrow, same time, same place, different host. 7:10, first pitch on WTMJ once again. Carlos F. Rodriguez making his major league debut, the 8th different Brewer to make a big league debut this year, going up against left-hander Yusei Kikuchi. Again, 7:10, first pitch. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock with Brewers warm-up. Network coverage will begin at 6:35. And then on Wednesday, no post-game show. First pitch is scheduled for 1:10. Coverage will begin at 12:35. And then Thursday is an off day, but don't fret. We've got Brews Weekly Thursday night. And I know I hinted at it earlier, but if you're still listening along, a reminder that we learned today Robert Gasser might be out for the season as they await the 3rd opinion on his elbow. One of the opinions opined that he should have surgery on his left elbow for the combination of the bone spurs, the flexor strain, maybe some concerns about the durability of his UCL. These are things that are being decided as we speak. And I want to put this on the record here at the end of the show, and I've said it over and over again. I'm annoyed of having to say it again, quite frankly. The Brewers are not signing Trevor Bauer. They're not. They're not doing it. Stop texting me. Stop tweeting me. Stop asking me. It's not going to happen. Point blank zero. No, no, no. I talked to an industry source today about why other teams are not signing Trevor Bauer. You know, the Brewers are not the only team dealing with injuries, okay? The Dodgers have half their starting rotation on Tommy John surgery. You've got the Braves that have been dealing with a ton of injuries and underperformances as well. Trust me, there are teams that would love to employ his services if he was the same guy that he was in 2018, 2019, not the guy dealing with all of this extracurricular stuff happening right now for all the wrong reasons in his own doing. So I understand how legal process works. You are innocent until proven guilty, and he was never proven guilty. And I understand how people think, oh, well, he's getting a big league minimum. He's going to be effective. There's no guarantee of any of this stuff. And I think for the Brewers, it does not make sense to get Trevor Bauer. It is the furthest thing from a guarantee, quite frankly. Furthest thing. So what I see for the Brewers is continue to work the trade phone calls. And I see Orento, like Luis Severino, may be available. I see the multi-year guys like we've talked about all year long. But yesterday's price isn't today's price. The teams know that, hey, you have a need. I don't have to trade this guy. It gets harder the closer you get to the deadline. The Brewers are firmly in the competition window. They are going to be competing for a playoff spot. It would be really helpful to make sure one of those teams that's trying to separate themselves from kind of the peanut butter jelly, if you will, the mush, the middle of the NL, because there's not a lot of separation right now. The Brewers are now at 39-27. They're doing great. They're 7 games clear because the rest of the Central was idle today. No one else is above 500 in the Central. In fact, in the National League, there are only 4 teams above 500 in the entire league. Heck, the Washington Nationals have a chance to make the playoffs right now. The Brewers will see them right at the end of the first half. The Nationals right now, they're technically a game and a half back of the wild tie for the third playoff spot. So there's a lot of mush in the middle of this National League. Would be helpful to continue to separate yourself and see if you can chase down a playoff spot and win another Central Division title. The bad news is that they're probably going to be in the same situation they were last year, where they're the 3 seed, which means they're in the wild card round and need to win a best of 3 at home. But hey, just get the job done. One way you can do that is pitching. But granted, last year with Corbin Burnes and Freddie Peralta, it didn't work out. But it would be nice to maybe work a trade and see what happens for the Brewers. That stinks, though, about Robert Gasser. I'm really bummed. Hopefully he's back by the end of the year, but the way that Pat Murphy spoke today does not sound like it. So once again, there is a show tomorrow. I will not be on it. I am on assignment. If you're watching on YouTube, I am in a hotel room, obviously, at an undisclosed location. But the Brewers are back at it tomorrow at 7:10. Looking forward to watching along from afar to see Carlos Rodriguez debut. My thanks to our producer, Matt Yazel, and to our guest today, Craig Kishon. Brewers win 3-1. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.